You are listening to station WGN.
Oh, a microphony!
And a phony at the mic! Yeah. Whoa!
And radio became an accepted vehicle for nationwide news and opinion.
Notify all radio and TV stations to broadcast the following message.
Oh, is that the comedy spot?
No, Bubblehead, this isn't a comedy spot.
You're a fun guy, Dave. You're lonely on an island.
What a dope. What a maroon.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
This is exciting, isn't it?
10, 5, 4, 3, 2.
WGN and a happy Sunday morning, everybody. Dave Plyer is out today. It is myself, John Hanson, and Esmeralda Leon filling in until 5 a.m. this morning. And Esmeralda, so good to see you again.
Yeah, ditto.
You it's baked been a, bit. A cake today.
I did. Thank you.
It looked incredible on the Instagram Live. You got your new KitchenAid mixer and had a great time with it. How'd it turn out?
Half of it almost fell off.
That's okay.
Yeah, no, it was fine. Frosting fixed it.
You just patched it on up.
Yeah, frosting fixes everything.
I do the
That's
same
the
thing.
Entire reason for frosting.
I do the same thing with my drywall. Just get a little frosting up there. It works out just fine.
Frosting is a multi-use product.
Curtis Koch, how you doing, my friend?
Doing really well. How about you guys?
Doing very well. I'm excited for this show tonight. As you said, Esmeralda, it's been a while since we've been together here on the G.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute, and it'll be another minute before the next one, but we're having a good time. And let's say hello to Roger Badish. Roger, how you doing here this morning?
Good morning, lady and gentlemen.
It's so nice to see you, Raj.
Good to see you guys. You were on yesterday afternoon.
I was on the new business lunch, yes, and which went longer than expected because the White Sox were supposed to come in around 12:30 for the pregame, but we went to 1:00. Then I went up to the ball game. I was up at Wrigley.
You had a good time up there.
Well, for
your
the
freezer
no,
took us off.
I had a terrible time because I went for about an hour and a half.
Oh no!
I made it late to the game. I brought the new guy, and he had never been in the bleachers before. Uh-huh. And the whole time I'm like, it's usually more fun than this. The Cubs were getting killed. It was
more
rainy. It was sleety. It was windy, and we stayed through the sixth.
Uh-huh.
And it was just too darn cold. And they were down 10-3 at that point when I left. And I left knowing well that in a weather game like that, where there is that much slick conditions, that sort of stuff, I knew it was possible the Cubs would come back. This was not me saying there's no chance. There was just no chance I was going to sit there anymore during it.
And wait for it.
Right. And I actually just moved up to a new place near the ballpark in Lakeview.
Yeah.
So it was my couch is just so close, Roger.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And so we went and walked back. And when I was getting lunch, I could hear the noise from the crowd. So we ended up watching the end of the game. But as a self-described giant Cubs fan, I was very disappointed in myself for leaving early, but that's okay.
That's all right. Fair. You're not quite a fair weather fan yet.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know, I've always, you know, in if you would have told me as a young kid that I'd ever leave a game early as an adult, I would have slapped myself. I remember once me and my dad left a game because it was raining. They had a rain delay. The Cubs were losing. It was a night game. So we drove back to Downers Grove and we listened to the Cubs have an astonishing comeback on the radio on the way home. And I swore there never to leave a game again early. But things have changed now that I'm old.
Yeah, but the good news is they won.
They won. That's all that matters.
In great fashion.
You should get yourself a dome.
My own personal dome?
Mm-hmm.
You mean an umbrella?
No, like a dome. You'd be sealed up, real warm in there.
Just a movable, a hamster wheel would go,
exactly.
Like a little hamster ball. Walk
yeah, and
around.
You'd never leave a game.
They should put all the players should have one of those as well. Who needs retractable roofs?
Yeah, there we go.
Just get everyone in a little thing. But
slamming into each other.
I can't believe they played that game. I mean, I know that the weather's not better tomorrow, so they couldn't do a doubleheader tomorrow.
Right.
If they even get tomorrow's game in, I know the Braves aren't coming back to town, and that's an issue. And then they'd have to find a mutual day off. It'd be a real mess for the schedule, but.
I thought that was the fun of it.
You know, what's interesting is for football
slipping
weather.
Slipping and sliding.
See, everyone loves it for football weather. You're right. People gear up for that. That's bear weather.
No one wants to see the baseball player slide around on the bases.
Right, and I wonder what the difference is in our psyche. Is it just because we expect baseball to be played?
I think it's because baseball is associated with summer.
Right.
And you're associated with sitting out in the bleachers, getting a tan, having a cold one with a hot dog or two.
Well, there was something cold about it.
Yesterday. Yeah,
there was. I did.
Yeah, your beer would never get warm.
It didn't. It was really nice and chilly.
See?
For three and a half innings.
Both benches cleared. then you could have had a football game.
Yeah, we could have. We should have just done that. But yeah, Bear fans love that. They love the cold weather. They gear up for it. Yeah. And there's plenty of Bears fans that cross over as Cubs fans. But
well, you know, Wrigley Field, they used to play Bears
games sure,
there.
Yeah, for 40-some sure. years.
And actually, they're talking about getting a permanent bowl game at yes. Wrigley Field now,
too. In fact, when they built the dugouts the way they did, the new dugout configuration at Wrigley Field for this year, they're built to be able to retract back a little bit mm-hmm. to be able to fit a football field. 312-91-7200, talk or text. Esmeralda, we've got a good show today.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of baseball, there is a musical that is just starting a new run at the Annoyance Theater. It's called Striking Out, and it is a musical, a gay baseball musical, which will make more sense when we talk to the folks that are here and exactly what that means. But I went and saw it tonight, and it was fantastic. And we've got the writer and of the lyrics, as well as some of the casters, are going to be hanging out too. So we're going to be chatting with them a little bit later. And Esmeralda, you sent some great stories this week. You always do. But
yes, thank you.
I like this one that we're going to chat about getting over exes.
Mm. I mean, mine's been a long time.
Right.
Yours is a little fresh. A
little bit fresher. Are you talking about your longest
yes.
ex? Yes.
But that's like years now.
Yes, exactly. But there's tons of apps. I didn't know that there were these apps.
Technology, man.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of technology, even though technology has changed a bunch, we probably still recognize many sounds of old technology that we're going to try and play a little game of called Name That Sound, where we have listeners battle against each other. We're going to play you an audio clip of some old technology, and you're going to have to guess what it is. And a bunch of other shenanigans, Esmeralda.
Oh.
Just
I didn't know they were shenanigans.
So many shenanigans.
Goodness.
Exactly. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Then we're going to jump on with the folks with Striking Out Musical. That's all coming up here on 720 WGN.
Let's go. Batter up. We're taking the afternoon off. It's a beautiful day for a ball game.
Sure wasn't today in Minnesota or in the north side of Chicago. Terrible weather for baseball, but it was a great night to go see a musical about baseball. Striking Out is the name of the musical. It's at the Annoyance Theater in Esmeralda. It is a gay baseball musical, which I know is your favorite genre.
Of course. I love gay baseball movies.
Exactly. And so this is really up your alley.
Oh, for sure.
And this is a musical, Striking Out, and right now we've got, six people. We've got two people behind the scenes and four members of the cast right here joining us, or we'll be jumping on at some point on the microphone. But we're going to start with Adam Levin and Ryan Ford. You guys wrote Striking Out, a gay baseball musical. And the first question is, why?
That is a... That is the question.
I saw it, and it's fantastic. I loved it.
Thank
Let's
you.
Get
Thank
that
you
out
so
of the
much.
Way. And
yeah.
It's going to be every Saturday at the Annoyance for the next couple of months. You're in previews. You had one this week. You'll have one again next mm-hmm. week. But where did the inspiration come from? Because there's a lot of allusions to the kind of the Cubs of 2016.
Yes.
Is that where the genius of the idea started?
So this is sort of the backstory, John.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take you to a restaurant about three blocks that way.
Okay.
And
he everyone, pointed south. Yes, this south. Is radio.
Yes.
So.
Are we not on camera right now?
No. Yeah. That was in the south direction down Michigan Avenue.
Great. So Ryan and I met at an improv class about 5 years ago, and... I have no life or job skills, so he got me a job at a restaurant.
That's
mm-hmm.
true.
Yeah, I am one of the worst waiters and bartenders you'll ever meet in
okay.
your life. And the bar we would work at, you could only watch ESPN. There was like six TVs, but you were never allowed to change the channel. It's like because the sports is like the most neutrally safe channel to watch.
Right.
And so we would just make fun of ESPN all day. Because, you know, I think ESPN's made to watch it like 15, 20 minutes at a time.
Yes.
But we would watch it like 6 to 7 hours a day. And you just
right.
saw like the hilarious habits that all these ESPN shows had. And this was during the Michael Sam era, the first openly gay football player to be drafted.
Right.
And I personally was just kind of taken aback and a little offended by the coverage on ESPN. And so the idea kind of came to me basically where if it was flipped and just like, how would they be talking about this if it was people who identify as gay and they were talking about a straight person to be drafted? And I asked Ryan if he wanted to write it with me because he is a musical genius. And He said yes, and I'm so happy he did.
And that forms the basis of the musical. The idea is that is a straight baseball player who tries out auditions. No spoilers here. This is all in the first 10 minutes. Who tries out to be part of, and it's not a gay baseball team. The implication is that the entire league is gay. Baseball is just gay.
In this reality, if you want to be a professional, it's assumed that every professional athlete identifies as gay. Yes.
Which is fascinating. Mm-hmm. Ryan, what were your thoughts when you got on board with this?
Oh, man. I feel like my first thought was this is a dicey idea or perhaps a terrible idea.
So somewhere between dicey and terrible.
That's a good place to be. Just,
you have to hop on board to, I think, the universe without it seeming kind of strange.
Right.
And, you know, we are two straight white guys, so it seems like an odd choice. But Adam was passionate about it, and I think for me, I really shifted in thinking about it when there's a podcast I listen to. It's like a history podcast, and they were that day telling a story about Glenn Burke, who was the first, actual openly gay baseball player, although I think he officially came out after
he had retired, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they were going into the details how Lasorda had sort of run him through the ringer. He was going to be paid off to go on a honeymoon to get married. And it was like, oh, this is insane the lengths that people will go to cover up something so, you know, absolutely normal. So it's just like, well, what if we flip the script? What, like, let's make it and show that it is ridiculous to treat people like an other when it's just, this is sports, it's baseball, it's all of us.
So as two straight males then, because the show is obviously very gay and touches, I'm gay, mm-hmm. and I brought my boyfriend and we laughed at so many inside gay, kind of, not inside gay jokes, but jokes that would be really funny to gay people and straight people as well. But did you have did you go to your gay friends as for consultants and jokes? I mean, because you obviously want to represent the world in a way that makes the most sense.
Well, the good thing is, so we have a cast of 14, and I would say the majority of the cast does identify as LGBTQ. And so throughout the rehearsal process, we were both pretty open at any time, and anything that didn't seem right or either going too far or not far enough, the conversation was pretty open the entire time, and we were constantly checking in, because that's obviously the last thing we would ever want to do is not either offend someone or get that incorrect.
But of course, find the right jokes at the right time as well.
Yeah.
Where do you start writing lyrics and getting songs in here? Because like when I was watching the musical, the thing I was most, because I've seen a lot of improv musical based groups in Chicago all over the place. Most of them are great, and every night it's, you know, but improv is always hit or miss, obviously, with more something written out in sketch.
I don't know, John. I think every improv show is fantastic.
Well, that's what all the performers think. But, I mean, I was just blown away that the musical, it has many of the similar themes that you see in every musical you'd see if you saw it downtown in Chicago, and that different songs obviously have different influences and come different styles of music. Ryan, where do you start with that stuff? I mean, what comes first, lyrics or the sound or what? I mean, what happens? Do you just drink a bottle of Jack and just see what happens? Like, I don't know how this goes.
Ryan, he knows your secrets.
No. I wish it was with a bottle of Jack. It actually was Adam did a bunch of research about sort of your standard musical, what types of songs should go where. So before we even got to the process of writing the music, we sat down together and broke down the show and be like, oh, this type of this sort of want song goes here. It was very boring and clinical, but it was important work to do, because then we sort of had the bones of this thing, and then we could do the fun part, which is, you know, tinker around with guitars and pianos. And
Yeah, actually, I ordered this book that the producer of Hairspray wrote. I might mispronounce or forget the title, but I think it was like The Secret Life of the American Musical.
Okay.
And they talked a lot about the structure. And then I also got the book for Book of Mormon. And I just like studied that as well to break it down. And yeah, like he said, we were literally just like, what is our I want song? And then it was way more boring than I wish I could tell you this moment. Yeah.
Right. That's fascinating, though, to see. And you could see that in the structure. Like, I could tell what was going to be the last song of the first act when it came, even though there was a quick scene right before the intermission there. But, I mean, it had that normal musical stuff, which I find, as an audience member, Esmeralda, I don't know if you're a huge fan of musicals, but there's something comforting about that sort of thing. I mean, I think that some people could say, oh, it's, you know, it can get cookie cutter the way many musicals are. But as a musical lover, it's nice to know, and it's nice to hear great melodies and the voices that you guys have and the cast behind you. I mean, it's really well pulled off.
Well, John, if I may ask, what is your favorite musical? And basically, does it involve the show you saw tonight?
Yes, it was. Right. It's called Striking Out. It's a gay baseball musical. And
Esmeralda, would you say the same thing, even though you didn't come
yeah,
to the show?
Yeah, I have not seen it and know not much about it, but that is my favorite musical ever. I saw it as a young babe.
Right.
And I Ooh. Still love it today.
You were the baby in the crowd tonight?
Yes. Right. Yeah, I grew fast.
This is not the first run of this musical. So when this is it's kind of it's back again, right? When did it run before?
It is back and bigger than ever.
Right.
Ryan, it was October to November of last year, right?
It was the fall.
The fall, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it it ran Sunday nights in the fall at the Annoyance. It had 9 of the 14 cast members you saw tonight. Mm-hmm. They came back. Jordan Lee Cohen, who you will talk to later, she's one of the new cast members. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And we kind of we were really proud of what we did the first run, but we just knew there was more, and we wanted to make it bigger and better, and we had all these ideas that we just couldn't fit into the first run. So we're just thrilled that Annoyance let us take another crack at it.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite part about watching it tonight? Like watching it see it unfold? And the crowd was great. I know for a preview show, you never know who's going to be coming by, friends, family. A lot of times you're giving out tickets. Thank you guys, by the way. And for me. And what was it like seeing that final moment? I mean, I'm sure you guys nitpicked on certain things that you know you want to fix moving forward. But overall, thoughts?
Ryan?
Oh, man. I find myself doing this thing every time I watch it. And I'm playing in the pit band now. So I have to think about things sometimes. But even then, I always like slowly crawl to the front of my seat for all the emotional parts. And it's crazy because I know exactly what's going to happen. We wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I'm just like, ooh, this is intense. and it's nice. And it has, you know, everything to do with the actors we have. They take the material and they just run with it and put all the heart into it that we could ask for.
Yeah, another thing is, too, because this was the first preview of the new run, so there's new, I would say, probably 2 new songs, 3 new scenes. We rewrote some stuff, and there's some stuff that, like, we thought of 7 months ago that we were just like, that'll work.
Mm-hmm.
And just the when it actually does, you're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. So it's so gratifying that an idea you thought of almost a year ago, like, in front of an audience, because you don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know, John.
I don't want to. This is not another spoiler, but I won't go too far. But I think my favorite part was there's a cameo by Babe Ruth in a way.
It's true.
That was so unexpected and just so wonderful. When you think of an idea like that, and if it's a collaborative process, and I guess I could ask about that. The Annoyance, known for a lot of improv and known for sketch as well, did a lot of the musical kind of get formed as in rehearsals or little lines, or was most of it on the page and on the paper?
So
what we saw tonight,
we wrote pretty much everything before rehearsal started, and we wrote the majority of it in the long room and at Pick Me Up Cafe and Ryan's living room. So
shout out to my living room.
Yes. but yeah, we basically, yeah, I would say 90% of it was written. And then obviously the cast in rehearsals, like if they came up with a good bit or a good line, we're just, and it crushed, we put it in, and
right.
We're so happy for them.
That's
yeah.
Awesome. We got to take a quick commercial break. Adam and Ryan, the writers of Striking Out, a gay baseball musical playing at the Annoyance Theater. It's going to be Saturdays at 8 o'clock on the main stage from now until when? June? Right.
June 16th.
That's a whole night. This is the spring and summer.
Yeah.
So there
yeah.
we go. We got baseball our seasons season. Down. Yeah,
yeah.
Sort of, kind of. And we're going to talk to some cast members too after the news. Guys, thanks so much for stopping by and joining us. We're going to take a quick commercial break, then the news here on 720 WGN. Esmeralda, since gay baseball movies are your favorite genre,
mm-hmm.
do you know why Curtis is leading into this next segment with
you
this song?
You tell me.
It's because this
I
is
already know.
Greens. You do? Yeah. This
yeah.
is a what? Green Onions and
yes, that's correct.
It's from Sandlot.
And it's actually the 25th anniversary of that movie.
It is. Then that was the first gay baseball movie ever
yeah.
made.
Good job. I'm glad you knew that.
It certainly made me gay watching Benny Rodriguez. I shouldn't say that about teenagers. Anyways,
no,
this is. I was young at the time. I was okay. All right. 720 WGN, John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon filling in for Dave Plyer. Dave Plyer would never say that. We're filling in for here. We're here with the cast now. A couple members of the cast of Striking Out, which is a gay baseball musical playing at the Annoyance Theater and Bar. I had a chance to see it last night, technically, I guess. It runs every Saturday at 8 o'clock. It's a great show. And joining me now are the two leads, the love interests of Striking Out. We've got Laurel Saw-Pelton, who plays the part of Penny, right?
Yes, that's me. I play Penny. My name's Laurel.
By the way, Penny's just such a great musical name. It's just, it just really works.
Oh, yeah.
And Ryan Cashman, who plays the new star in town. What's your character's name? Jimmy, is it? No.
Jimmy Roberts.
Jimmy Roberts.
Jimmy Roberts.
And Ryan, I got to say, it was so fascinating because I had talked through, this is how the stuff is done these days. I talked through whoever ran your Instagram account, which turns out it was Adam, about the show. That's how I found about it through Instagram. That's how I was able to go see the show. So I had no idea until the moment that you walked on stage that it was you, because Ryan Cashman and I go way back. He went to Downers Grove South High School, which is
a
speech team, 17-time state champions. You went to Illinois State University as well. And you're back here in Chicago. You're friends with my younger brother, and I know your sister. And then you came on stage. And Ryan, I had no idea you could sing.
Oh, well.
And not only can you sing, you sing incredible.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it was a blast. Actually, you know what? I saw you in the crowd, too, and it took all my energy to be like, oh, John.
You should have
done
that.
I was very much like in character.
Right. No.
In
yeah.
The you, zone, raising the stakes at all times.
So, how did you guys get involved in this project? How did you catch wind of it? Was it an audition process? How did it work, Laurel? How'd you get involved?
Yeah. Well, I know Adam and Ryan very well. They're dear friends. Yeah. And Adam. Well. Adam, when he was writing it, he was like, hey, I'm writing this like show, like, and like I've got this lead that I'm writing, and like I'm kind of like having you in mind for it. And then I had to leave town when the show was first originally mounted, so I didn't. So like it went up, and I like wasn't in it. And I watched this, like I watched people post about it on the internet, and I was like, oh man, that looks like fun. And then he said they were remounting it, and I was like, oh please, can I please? And he was like, yeah, please. And so now I get to do it.
That's it. And the first night, were you happy with how everything went?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a banger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't in the audience, but I feel like it was pretty great for a preview. Yeah.
Esmeralda and I were, and we say it was definitely a banger. Yeah. That's the first thing we said to each other at intermission.
In what my Goo Goo Gagas, I said it was a banger.
What a banger.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, you play Jimmy, who you're the straight baseball player. And if you missed the earlier segment, the premise is that in this world, in this reality, all professional athletes are gay. It turns the whole thing around, and you have to pretend to be straight. And in fact, Laurel, who is your girlfriend, is not. She has to play what part? What do you fake it as?
Oh, right. My sister. She's my sister. We're sisters.
Right.
She's my sister.
Right. And what? How did you get involved in the project?
Actually, Adam and I, we've crossed paths a couple different times in other different shows and performances. And then just one day, I was at work, and I got an email from Adam to come in and audition. And so when I went to the audition, actually, Laurel was already there. And I sang a jazzy version of Britney Spears' Toxic, which I felt was...
Wait, can you sing a little of that right now for us? Do you know an a cappella? Yeah. I mean, you set us up for that, so yeah, go ahead. Yeah. There is a jazzy version of Britney Spears' Toxic from Ryan Cashman.
All right, here we go.
Oh, my God.
It's getting late to give you up. I took a sip of your devil's cup. Slowly, it's taking over me.
Yeah. That is absolutely incredible.
Do you need a cigarette now?
Yeah.
So I keep going, whatever.
You know, I gotta say, Ryan, is that not only was I impressed that you're singing, but you sing a lot of falsetto in this thing. I mean, have you always been someone that can sing those higher notes?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, great answer. That was a great question,
even in high school,
John,
it's even in choir, I was I balanced out some when it was too guy heavy. They put me in alto, soprano. So yeah, and we had the same choir teacher.
Yes. Hey. Yes.
So I remember times in high school when she and I actually worked on not even just hitting falsetto, but also hitting like a good mix. So
right.
I was able to kind of control that back in high school, and that was kind of cool. And then I also sang because my mom kept
throw me into things
right.
that involve singing.
Well, I think you're right, because bouncing between falsetto and normal singing and be able to keep the pitch is a really difficult thing to do, and you do it really well. Okay. Laura, what I also like about Penny's character is it's not just the love interest that kind of gets shafted for a while, and then, yay, everything ends up okay in the end. You have your own mission that you're going for, and I think that that really adds a nice dimension to the piece.
Oh, yeah. Penny's definitely got her own drive. And that's a big part of the whole show. And, like, the whole narrative is they go, they each have their own dreams. And basically, like, she, like, has Ryan's back. And he's like, yeah, I've got yours.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get to when the dreams actually start to happen. And it kind of, one of them doesn't have as much steam as the other. Or one isn't quite as supported as the other one is.
Right.
And it's a matter of pulling yourself up. And she kind of does the dang thing herself because she has to.
The very first song that I really got laughed the most at was a play, because you guys are from Iowa is the set of it, and you have now moved to Chicago because you're in the big leagues. But while you're in Iowa, you sing a song, and I don't know how you guys came up with how many things could kind of rhyme with Iowa. Have you ever counted how many words there are that you say that rhyme with Iowa? Is it...
Oh, how many?
Yeah.
I count? Not yet.
You haven't counted
but,
yet.
You know, yeah, I could probably guesstimate a good, like, 30, 40 right. different Owas.
Right.
Owa rhyme schemes.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part about the show, Laurel?
I mean, honestly, well, the writing is beautiful. I am, as a queer woman, I'm like a sucker for queer content. I love it. Wherever it is, I eat it up with a spoon.
Mm-hmm.
And this show is so funny, and the writing is brilliant, and the music is beautiful. But honestly, it's just a really wonderful experience to be in a cast with so many wonderful, talented queer folks. Like,
yeah.
It's like, it truly is so great and such a privilege to just be in a cast with these people.
I'm blanking on the name, but you guys all help me out. There's a resident group at the Annoyance that plays every Friday night, right?
Baby Wine,
exactly. We saw them a couple weeks ago. They're incredible. And it's an all LGBT improv group. And not to get too deep on it, Laurel, but I, as a gay man, I watched, and it is really nice to see a group, a musical dedicated to that sort of thing. And also to have Baby Wine, a group that is a queer oriented, most people in the group are of that orientation. Does that mean a lot to you to represent, to carry kind of that torch?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I've done some stuff with Baby Wine before, and I feel like Annoyance is really good. They're good at having houses where, like, it's a place where queer folks can go on, like, a weekend night and see queer art made by queer folks and just, like, be there and celebrate it and, like, have a bunch of fun and see really funny stuff.
Because as it turns out, queer people are pretty funny.
We're pretty funny.
Yeah, we make people laugh, yeah. And we've done it for a really long time.
Yeah, we're pretty good.
Ryan, how about, that must be something that obviously you embrace as well in your role.
So, you know what, I think my biggest takeaway from this type of musical is the warmth and, like, the wonderfulness that you see on stage and, like, the ever-present type of people that you see on stage, you get off stage too.
Mm-hmm.
And so just from being in the dressing room to saying hello to each other when we go into the theater, I've never in one day at any time we've ever met felt like an outsider, which is interesting because that's the stories about, you know, accepting and all that other good stuff. So, and as someone who, you know, supports everything with LGBTQ and everything else within the community and with people in this play, what its purpose is, it's been fantastic just to be with such a family and a community of people who's been amazing.
It is really, you say warm and beautiful. I really got that vibe, too. I remember talking with the random Instagram account holder, Adam, as it turns out, because I was saying, Adam. You know, oh, maybe we could have you guys sing a song, but obviously you guys usually sing it with unless it's toxic. You guys usually play with accompaniment. I didn't want you guys to have you sing tonight, but I was like, oh, maybe we'll pick one of the more family-friendly songs. And not that there's not some, you know, humor in there that you couldn't use, but most of the songs I heard tonight don't have, you know, there aren't cheap, easy swears in there. It really is a musical that I think makes you laugh without trying to go for the low blow. Although there's a couple jokes out there, of course, that will make you laugh in that way. Laurel and Ryan, thank you guys so much for stopping by. We're going to switch you guys out with two more people after a quick commercial break. And good luck with the show, guys. Okay?
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Plenty more coming up on 720 WGN. Curtis, is this like ESPN sports intro music? What is this?
It's Pennant Fever from the movie Major League.
Major League, okay. Pennant Fever, Major League. It's obviously a baseball-themed first hour.
How did you not know that?
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Really? Off the top?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I mean, I knew it was definitely an 80s movie. I mean, you can tell just by the instrumentals there. We're talking Gay Baseball, a musical striking out, a gay baseball musical playing at the Annoyance Theater. We've been rotating the cast and the writers through on the microphones. And next up, we have Jordan Lee Cohen, who plays Susan. Mm-hmm. And we have Riley Wilson, who plays Otter Number 3.
That's right. Number 3.
The name of the team is the Otters.
That's right.
Riley, can you... In as best of language as you can, mm-hmm. explain the joke for those that don't know out there why the team is called the Chicago Otters.
I am so glad to field that question.
Right, because it's a gay musical.
So it's a gay musical. The gay community has different... I don't know.
I
feel like I'm going to say something not... I don't know. Oh, right. Gosh.
What is an otter? I guess I'll
an otter is like a skinny, hairy boy.
Skinny, hairy boy.
Don't ask me. I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Well, there's bears in the gay community.
Bears would be like a bigger than an otter.
Right.
An otter's like a small bear.
Right, exactly.
A wolf is also a thing.
There's a wolf now. There's muscle pups. There's all sorts of things. Yeah. We could spend an hour doing this. Yeah. Ooh. I'd put you in as a muscle pup there, Esmeralda. Yeah, no.
I myself am a muscle pup? Yeah, I would like muscle pups.
You would like muscle pups.
Probably.
I think you got your own little muscle pup going on.
Then.
Yeah, there you go.
No, wait, now I know.
Now you know. So the team is named the Chicago Otters. By the way, Riley, that was the worst description of an otter ever. That took us 10 minutes to get
there. I truly agree.
It's
Am
funny.
Am I a muscle pup?
Yes.
Cheers.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
No, I understand that it's hard to navigate those waters because you never want to say anything that offends anyone because we live in that age. But yes, it is. So the team is named the Otters, and you play Otter Number 3. But what I liked about the role of the – because there's kind of five of you guys that are playing what you would maybe call the chorus role, I guess mm-hmm. you could say. But each of you has a distinct – none of you blend in a way. You all have a distinct kind of personality. Yeah. So why don't you describe who Otter Number 3 is?
Oh, I would love to. Okay. Otter Number 3 is a paper boy in Poughkeepsie in about 1936.
I mean, really? I mean, you're giving yourself a silly back story, but you put your voice and mannerism
actually to defend the accent I'm doing. I'm just doing this absurd accent, and you kind of like build back out from there.
Right, right.
You know?
What's the accent?
Oh, yeah, you got it.
Can you do it?
I mean, you can't say an absurd accent. You got to do it.
I got to think of like a line.
Line. A clean
New
line.
New Y City. Yeah, it's the hottest bar in New Y City.
Wow.
That's what I get from it.
That's Poughkeepsie, all
right. That's Poughkeepsie. That certainly is.
New Y City.
Right.
Poughkeepsie, New Y City.
And Jordan, your role is you and what's your castmate's name? I'm sorry, I don't
Elizabeth.
Know. Elizabeth.
Andrews.
And you guys play this incredible, in a lot of musicals you have, I don't know what it would be called technically, but a lot of times in old musicals when they bring down the curtain, you need some other set piece, you need something else that was happening to move the story along and let the set kind of change and stuff like that. And that's not what I'm trying to say, that you're just there for the set, but that your role is so funny. You and Elizabeth play mock ESPN anchors in a way, and you guys are hilarious
Thank you.
I asked you off the air if you watched ESPN to kind of get inspiration, and
I said no and no way.
Yeah. Do you have an objection? Like, how did you find the inspiration? Is it just that you're playing a full mocked up character of what you've heard of or thought of?
Yeah, I think it's easier to play the stereotype of what a sports broadcaster is supposed to be. No offense, people go to school for so long to be sportscasters. We're making fun of them, I guess.
No, that's fine.
But it's the loud, like Alex Jones screamy type reporter. I don't know. So I also wasn't in this first iteration of the musical, but Elizabeth was, and she was already this big character that was so funny and so easy to latch onto and like just work with. So I think I've really just been gelling with her and doing.
You guys get incredibly loud in a couple different scenes.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just pray for your voice.
Oh, me too.
It sounds great, though, today.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're doing okay. Because, I mean, it really is an intense scene, especially there's a scene you have with Ryan's character, Jimmy, where there's that play where you guys are really trying to grill him on questions.
The penalty box.
The penalty box, which, of course, is an allusion to some ESPN segment, I'm sure, that's been there before. The hot seat, anything like that, the penalty box, where you grill him on these questions. Walk through, because you also have an interesting interplay with Penny, because Penny's trying to become one of you guys, essentially.
Yes. So Elizabeth and I had such a good time deciding that we were going to be this big, aggressive characters, quote unquote, on the air, like when we're interviewing Jimmy, and these just absolute, like, fake feigned kindness, but like truly mean off camera.
Mm-hmm.
So when Laurel's character Penny like wants, this is her dream. We don't care. We don't even learn her name by the end. By mm-hmm. the end, we're like,
Peggy. I think you call her. Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point,
we're calling her weird things the whole time. Yeah.
Right.
Penny. Yeah.
Yeah.
But. We just have no, we have truly have no respect for her until she does the thing that we need her to do, which
right.
is, of course,
what you can't say, because otherwise that ruins the whole
thing. Yes, I'm not going to.
Right. Riley, how'd you get involved in the project?
Well, how did I get, like,
you know, every question I've asked you, you've had to look to the audience answer.
Adam is feeding me all of my answers.
Yes.
I actually was, I work with Adam. During the day, we have day jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous. And
day jobs are fabulous.
They pay bills.
We eat lunch together.
Right.
And I was actually not in the like very first casting. I was like, okay, that's hurtful.
Adam, right.
Because we eat lunch together a lot. And I have no qualms airing right. this on air.
Right, apparently.
And then the guy that he originally cast, he couldn't do it.
So you're the second choice.
So I'm second choice. I'm second string.
Second choice on the second run.
I'm third odd or second string.
Yes, so exactly.
You do the math. Chicago and America.
Well, Jordan and Riley, you guys were awesome. We got to cut this short because I want to get two more people on. Before we get
and
to
the
news.
And they got to do the math, so
exactly.
We got to give them time.
Guys, thanks so much for joining us, and we're going to wrap up with our conversation about striking out a gay baseball musical after this on 720 WGN. I got a Mick Curtis. What is this from?
Is this the A-Team?
No.
No, it's got to be another. Is it Rookie of the Year?
Yes, there you go.
Okay, it is from Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
It's been a baseball hour here on WGN. Esmeralda Leon and John Hansen filling in for Dave Plyer. We don't have too much more time. We're wrapping up our conversation with the cast and the writers of Striking Out, a gay baseball musical playing at the Annoyance Theater. And last two folks coming in are Rents, who plays the part of Babe Ruth.
I am the ghost of Babe Ruth in drag.
In drag?
Oh. In drag, baby.
And it comes in the second act. And
out of absolutely
out
nowhere.
Out of nowhere. I don't want to give it any more away, but it is your entrance and scene had me literally crying. I wanted to say something else that we're not supposed to say on the radio, but it was hilarious.
That is so great to hear. Every time I walk out and hearing the gasps,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Because you got the Yankees jersey on.
I do.
So it slowly reveals itself, and you've got the glitter underneath the eye black.
Sunblockers?
Yeah, sunblockers. They're
functional.
Rents, I gotta ask, do you do drag?
I do, yeah. Okay. I'm right now writing a bunch of music, mm-hmm. and I'm like slowly performing each song at different times, but I'm definitely looking to do more in the future. And this opportunity in the show was huge to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Adam brought me in really early in the process and knew that I loved drag, knew that I loved writing music, and invited me to take part in putting together this drag number.
Yeah. And yeah. I got to ask, so do you, I wondered when you were doing it, if you didn't sing it live because that's what drag is like too in many mm-hmm. ways, or if that was just a conscious decision that you'd prefer to have it recorded and
girl,
go from
we're
there.
Figuring it out.
Yeah, okay.
So
I didn't mind at all. I thought it was kind of interesting that it was, since it was a drag performance, that it took
yes.
on the role that many drags do, where it's a pre-recorded audio track.
Totally, yeah. You know, a lot of drag, you're lip syncing. Some queens
yes.
sing live. Some, you know, queens do original music. Mm-hmm. We're definitely finding our own thing in
cool.
the show.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was really funny, Rents.
Was it always supposed to be Babe Ruth?
Yeah. It was always Babe Ruth, yeah. And the whole song is inspired by like that like infamous Babe Ruth quote. Never let the fear of striking out keep you from slaying the game.
Yes, and it's just done so well. And your choreography with the bat is incredible.
Thank you.
You really worked hard on that,
thanks.
I can tell. Rents, nice job. And Parker Callahan, really quickly, otter number four.
Yeah.
And the cowboy otter, I guess you could say.
You could say that again.
Do you have cowboy an accent?
Yeah, go ahead. Do you have an accent? Esmeralda.
Oh, yeah, it's mostly, it's just Clarice Starling, but I'm just chucking like this the whole time.
And then there's a surprise moment after you take off your hat at one uh-huh. moment. Yeah, it's very wonderful. How'd you get involved in the project really quickly?
Oh, you know, I love Adam, and he asked me to do it, so I said yes.
Really good story, Parker. Yeah. Saved up for that one the whole hour, exactly. I wish we could chat more with you, Parker, and Rents as well, but we have got to get to the news break. But really, the whole cast and crew, thank you guys so much for coming
thank
in today. We really
us.
Appreciate it. It's Striking Out, a gay baseball musical. It's playing every Saturday at the Annoyance Theater until the middle of June. Really fun stuff. Esmeralda, are you going to go see it?
Oh, for sure.
I'll go again. Well, I'll take you
there
up there.
There you go. I want to see a drag Babe Ruth.
Oh, if that doesn't get you to the show, people, I do not
me?
Know what will.
I'll see an hour of that. Come on now.
Drag show after?
Yeah, yes! Exactly. Do a double feature. A Rents double feature.